You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy.
My name's actually Felix.
The weird, the whack, the wonderful.
Stranger Than Fact on 95BFM.
Throughout the last 1,000 years, there exists records, even persistent, tangible proof of one of history's most hated and vilified social groups. This is a group that was so violently and systematically oppressed by their neighbours that they were forced into different neighbourhoods, restricted to certain professions, and disallowed from even touching the same surfaces as their oppressors. The mistreatment of cagots throughout France and Spain is unfortunately not historically unique. That introduction may have stirred images of the Holocaust, apartheid, slavery, and other obscene crimes against humanity. But what makes the oppression of cagots particularly interesting to reflect on now, generations later, is their fate. Because in a lot of ways, their oppressors got what they wanted. After hundreds of years of mistreatment and subjugation, the very culture and identity of cagotism has vanished. Nobody knows who cagots were, nor why they were so widely hated in the first place. Instead, most cagots eventually hid their heritage from the world, even from their children, and to this day, their existence has almost entirely been forgotten. Even the name cagot is speculated to have been a slur, with numerous translations across various provinces and regions. In one of history's greatest tragedies, cagots are only remembered for their oppression. So let's rewind a bit. What do we know for sure about cagots? Interestingly, it's been broadly established that cagots didn't have much of a distinction from other Europeans. In fact, it was extraordinarily difficult to identify a cagot without prior knowledge. It's for this reason that several cagots managed to assimilate into society after the French Revolution, since the government records that detailed their backgrounds were either destroyed or thrown away. As for a religious distinction, while it may have played some sort of role in their origins, most cagots throughout their history attended the same churches as everyone else. We know this is the case because cagots were forbidden from using the same doors as other members of the public. These doors were smaller, supposedly to force cagots to bow as a way to reinforce their subservience. Many churches across the Pyrenees still have these doors, so there's tangible proof that this practice existed. That's not the extent of it either. There were all sorts of unusual rules and restrictions that were placed on cagots to humiliate or suppress them. Cagots were forbidden from using the same baths as other people. They weren't allowed to touch the railings on bridges, and they were even banned from walking barefoot, since it was believed that their skin would infect the ground. The fact that cagots were forced to wear shoes at all times also gave rise to the belief that they had freakish webbed feet, a rumour that ultimately became an identifying symbol. Cagots were forced to wear a symbolic goose's foot pinned to their clothes, a precursor to the yellow badges of Nazi Germany. Cagots were treated like they weren't human, shunned as lepers or cannibals. As for the lifestyles of cagots across Europe, they were generally forced into modest or subservient roles as carpenters, basket weavers, or rope makers. Cagots were also separated into their own isolated neighbourhoods, known as cagoteries, along the outskirts of town. Not much else is actually known about cagots. As I mentioned at the top of the segment, the vast majority of surviving records about cagots are about their oppression, rather than who they actually were as people. This has caused a number of historians to speculate and theorize about the origins of cagotism and why they were so broadly hated by the rest of society. One theory suggests that the name cagot is derived from Canis Gothi, or dogs of the Goths, suggesting some sort of relation to the Visigoths of the Roman era, but this is seemingly refuted by the fact that the word cagot wasn't actually used until about 1542, roughly 800 years after the Visigothic kingdom fell. So, failing that, what else could work? Well, some people believe that cagots were descendants of the Cathars, a Gnostic movement that was famously persecuted for heresy in the early 13th century. This one's particularly interesting because it has some historical basis, and yet it's completely inconsistent with other records. In 1514, a delegation of Spanish cargoes appealed to the Pope with this claim, but there's also sufficient reason to believe that it was a strategic lie. You see, Spain's religious law stated that heresy expired after 4 generations, which meant that if the cargoes convinced the Pope that they were marginalized because of heresy committed 300 years prior, they would have sufficient grounds for emancipation. And this actually worked. The Pope delivered a public decree that essentially asked people to treat cargoes better, despite the fact that records of discrimination against cargoes dated back about 200 years before the Cathars were branded as heretics. The unfortunate outcome of this story, however, is that it didn't take. Most local authorities simply ignored the decree, presumably because maintaining cargoes as a scapegoat was too convenient to pass up. Tracing the origins of cargoes is particularly difficult because descriptions of their appearance vary wildly across different accounts. Some claim they had distinctly darker skin than other Europeans, suggesting that they emigrated from the Middle East, while others describe blonde hair and blue eyes. The only consistent description of cargoes is their inconsistency, which suggests to me that they didn't have any individual place of origin. A newer theory, then, suggests that cargoes were descendants of a carpenter's guild, with the bigotry stemming and ultimately growing from something as simple as a commercial rivalry. This is quite an interesting theory because it highlights the utter senselessness of bigotry. It would explain why there are no records of where the persecution came from, because that sort of hatred could only persist for as long as it did if the reasons had been forgotten. Regardless of their origins, the story of cagotism is a fascinating and tragic look at just how meaningless hatred can be. No matter the reasons or whatever initial justification is given, bigotry will always end up being hate for hate's sake, and that's unfortunately something we're still struggling to escape even today. We can look back at these historical stories with the benefit of hindsight and understand that this sort of discrimination is wrong, but ultimately we're still engaging in these practices today, whether we're active participants or just passively allowing it to happen around us. In researching this story, it was impossible to avoid the obvious parallels to the modern world. Unfortunately, this isn't a story that we can just enjoy and move on. I sincerely need to ask you to reflect on the sort of treatment that's currently being faced by living people. Treatment that is just as horrific and senseless, if not more so, than what happened to the cargoes hundreds of years ago. As much as we want to believe we've evolved, that evolution has been slow and painful, and the people who are suffering because of our inaction deserve far, far better.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
That was Stranger Than Fact on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.